Yay, I'm excited. I'm excited. We're going to be in Psalm 100. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 100. And if not, Derry will have it up on the bulletin. Left my glasses at home, so I can't read that up there. But it's all good. I'm just going to stop wearing them. I'm in complete denial now. I'm going to speak. Complete denial. I'm just going to stop wearing my glasses. Done with it. Did you guys see my nose? This is my scripture here. I write it up real big font so I can see it. And my granddaughter put a little Finding Nemo sticker on my nose. Isn't that cute? Can you see it from back there? Larry, you can't see it, can you? Trust me, it's a Finding Nemo sticker. You know? So I think about her. Bless her little heart. Her name is Lily. Lily. Isn't that neat? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate this time. Well, we are so grateful. The best way we know how, we do try to humble ourselves and admit that we are just grateful and thankful for all the blessings and gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be born in America. At least I feel like that. The land of free and land of the brave. And as we said the other day, we've had our own problems. Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for my church family. And Lord, we lift up the ones that don't feel good, maybe sick, have needs. Lord, we remember the ones that are on the back of our bulletin. We don't ever want to forget. We don't ever want to take that for granted and just look over it. Lord, we want to pause for a minute and lift up the ones on the back of our bulletin and ask you to help them. Give them what they need. Help them through whatever situation is going on in their lives. Lord, thank you for this food today and all the hands that prepared it and all the people behind the scenes setting up tables to cooking and setting up stuff and getting everything ready. Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for their heart, their servant's heart. Bless this time. Bless this message. Help our missionaries and our military in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's hot in here too. Y'all hot? It's hot up here, I guess, maybe, right? Sunlight. Psalms 100, Danny. Psalms 100. Let's read it together. Shout for joy. Everybody say shout.
Shout.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Verse 3. No. Everybody say no. This is important now, okay? Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I got a lot of favorites, but this is a good one. Verse 5. For the Lord is... Everybody read it with me. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. And amen. Now, I know you know the story, but give me about 5 minutes here. We're going to talk about pilgrims. Okay? We're going to talk about the pilgrims. How, you know, sometimes I think, how do they really know how all this went down, you know? But I guess we trust the historians as they, you know, write stuff and record all the things that's happened. But the original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during the second winter in America in December 1621. Sometimes I forget that, don't you? 1621, because we always focus on the, you know, 1776 and the American Declaration and all that good stuff. But they were here a long time before that. The first winter was really bad for them. 44 people died out of the 102 colonists. So it was a really rough time for them. Okay, they lost a lot of folks, almost half, right? This was not a happy time for them. And it was real difficult for them to find something to be grateful for. At one point, their daily food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn apiece. Now, some say this is a miracle of God, but all of a sudden, an unexpected trading vessel arrived. These folks were able to trade furs, beaver furs, for some extra supplies and some extra grain. And this was very critical for them. I believe that God intervened and helped them out. The next summer's crop was good, and it brought hope and joy for them. So the governor of that time, William Bradford, proclaimed that December the 13th, 1621, would be set aside for a time of feasting and prayer. And these folks, I'm sure they were just grateful, Greg, right, to be alive. And they'd made it through another winter, and they had a little abundance. They participated in games, the colonists, and they say a little over 80 Native Americans participated in this. From that time forward, Thanksgiving has been celebrated as a day to give thanks to God for His provisions and His blessings. Abraham Lincoln officially set aside the last Thursday in November of 1863. And I'll quote old Honest Abe. He said, "This set this day aside as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benevolent Father." Unquote. Abraham Lincoln. In 1941, the U.S. Congress ruled that the fourth Thursday of November be observed as Thanksgiving Day and a federal holiday. Amen. And now you know the rest of the story. Now in the Bible, so from nearly cover to cover, we find things that relate to Thanksgiving. Having a grateful heart. This is what this is all about. Folks in the Bible celebrated God's goodness, God's grace, God providing for them throughout the Bible. The Israelites sang a song of thanksgiving as they were delivered from Pharaoh's army, as they came out of the Red Sea. Later on, the Mosaic Law set aside 3 times a year for the Israelites to get together. And all 3 of these involved them remembering God's grace, God's mercy, and giving Him thanks. And that's what we're doing today. The book of Psalms is packed full of poems and songs giving thanks to God. It's beautiful. If you've never really read through Psalms, I encourage you to do that. In the New Testament, there are repeated reminders to give thanks to God, to be grateful for His mercy and His grace to us. There are times in the New Testament where it encourages us to give thanks in our prayers. There's 2 real favorite verses here that focus on giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, and some of you, these are very familiar. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So this is God's will, that we try our best to be thankful, and that we pray without ceasing, and understand that He is for us, not against us. Philippians 4, 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." These are gifts. The Word of God is a gift to us. It gives us guidance. It gives us wisdom. It corrects us when we need to be corrected. It comforts us, doesn't it? The Word of God. I believe that we're all thankful for God's gifts. But the greatest one is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm compelled to always, the best way I can, I always talk about Jesus. In every sermon, I try my best to always present the gospel and to talk about Jesus. Amen? Jesus died for our sin so our Heavenly Father could give us eternal life as a free gift. This gift is available to all of us. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple faith. Nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. It's a gift. God's grace. We step out in faith and believe that Jesus died for you, for me, on that old rugged cross. Paul said this about the gift of Christ. He said, thanks. Here we go again. Thanks, right? Paul said, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And he used that word, indescribable. In other words, he don't have the words to describe this precious, precious gift. We call the gospel Jesus Christ, where we place our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, you ready? We, like the pilgrims, have a choice. In life, there will always be those things that we can complain about. Would y'all agree? Those things that just get on our nerves, they frustrate us, things that we... Is it a daily thing for you? It's a daily thing for me, you know? So there's always these things that we can complain about. They can get us frustrated or agitated or whatever, you know. Even little things. I was sharing with someone earlier. We had three boys. And then we had two more grandsons. So for years, we just had all boys. And so I was just always say stuff. They'd laugh, you know. And I think it was Marianne saying, made my granddaughter cry yesterday. Wow, I'm an idiot, right? But I was trying to get her to try some food or something. No, this is good. And then I didn't help it. All of a sudden I said, eat this, it'll put hair on your toes. Now the boys, what? They thought that was hilarious, you know. That's my standard little joke, you know. The boys would just laugh. She goes, I don't want to hear my toes. She starts crying. I'm like, oh my God. What have I done? It's terrible, isn't it? So girls, anyway, I'm not going to dig myself deeper than that. If we look close enough, though, we can find something to be grateful for, can't we? Well, sometimes we have to. We have to pray and ask the Lord. We have to focus. We have to be mindful. Say, okay, I know a lot of this is going on right now. A lot of things are happening in my life. You know, I need to focus. The Bible says we need to guard our hearts. We could find something to be grateful for, especially during this season. Sometimes people get sad during this season like this. Thanksgiving, Christmas, people can get sad. They can get down. Now, if you were raised in a great family and everything was Brady Bunch, you know, then you might not understand that, right? If you had good parents and nice, you know, you might not understand how someone can get down and sad during the holidays. Well, they can. They really can. So we'd be mindful of our neighbors. But somewhere in there, with God's help, we can find something to be thankful for. It's an effort. Everybody say effort. It's an effort that sometimes we have to just make this effort mentally to find something to be thankful for. Now let me say this. I'm going to start meddling a little bit. You okay? As our society becomes increasingly secular and selfish, can I say that? Our society is moving, you know, closer and closer. The actual giving thanks to God is being overlooked. What we have in the end is this, all we focus in on is the feasting and the festivities. You know, I know I'm not supposed to judge us by Hallmark movies, but anybody, you know, that's all you see. Man, it's great. You know, wonderful festivities. Everything's great. But we cannot, especially the church, we cannot forget to thank God, right, for these little things. I mean, he drove up in the car, right, with a heater or air conditioner, had good tires maybe. You know, there's a lot of things. We got clothes. There's a lot of things that we can be grateful for, be thankful for. I pray God finds us grateful and thankful every day for the gifts that he's given us, the spiritual gifts and also the physical gifts. I'm thankful for a decent house with air conditioning and indoor plumbing. Are you guys? I'm thankful. Now, I might sound silly. You know, some of you may remember running to the outhouse in 30-degree weather. I see a few heads nodding. Thank God I didn't have to do that. Amen? I choose today, everybody listen closely, I choose today to believe what the Bible says, that God is good, and every good gift comes from Him. Amen? May He find us to be grateful children. In ancient Israel, when the people of God gathered at the temple to worship the Lord, they began by chanting the psalm, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." That's a catchy song that we played. Thank you guys for playing that. Enter His gates is synonymous with coming into the Lord's presence. So think about that. When we think about, you know, in our hearts and our soul, we think about coming in, you know, entering His gates, we're actually coming into the presence of God. As one famous theologian said this, he said, moving, and listen closely, he said, moving to God's presence is in itself the first and fundamental human act that constitutes worship. I like that. When we think about entering His gates with thanksgiving, we're entering into the presence of God. Dr. James May, which is a seminary professor, said this about our scripture for the day. Psalms 100, he said, initiates worship and sets forth a theology of worship. Stay with me. Psalms 100 teaches us to begin our encounters with God by giving sincere thanks and enthusiastic praise. Now, if you've never really got serious about prayer, I think I've preached this many years ago, but I want to throw this in here real quick. This won't cost you any extra. Everybody good? This might insult some of you, but it'll be okay. You just keep coming back. This is what I used to teach people when I lead them to Christ. And I'd say, you know, you need to start praying. Okay, you know, most people don't pray because they don't think they know how. And they think they're going to say it wrong, you know. They're not going to be able to pray like Deacon Jones, you know. Hey, Heavenly Father, you know, all that hooping stuff. Or they don't know enough Bible or whatever. It's all a trick of the devil. But I'd teach them this. I'd say, and you guys a lot of farmers and you grow gardens and everything. You know what a pea pod is, right? You know, a little pea pod. I think I've mentioned this before. But start out thinking about your prayer life, if you want to get real serious about it, is three peas in a pod of prayer. Three peas in a pod of prayer. First P is praise. Second is petition. Third, ponderance. Almost forgot. Ponderance. Okay? So if you think about that, keep it that simple. If you really want to start getting serious about prayer, you know, it's not the way. It's just a way that you can start getting comfortable with prayer, personal prayer. Get along with God. Get along with God and think about the first P, which is what? Praise. This is what this theologian's telling us. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into God's presence, first of all, with praise. So just get alone and start talking to the Lord. Start praising Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my job. Thank you, Jesus, for my family. Thank you, God, for my baby. Thank you, God, for my grandchildren. Thank you, God. Just start praising Him and thanking Him. After 2 or 3 minutes, it'll go by and you'll go, oh, okay, cool. You know, instead of worried about, you know, praying for an hour, you know, whatever. Not many people do that. Don't let these religious folks trick you up on that one. So, am I okay to be that honest? Most people don't get along. I mean, there's a few folks who are prayer warriors that get in there and pray for a whole hour. I've never met one. Maybe because they're being humble about it, right? But just being real. Three P's in a pot of prayer. Start out with praise. 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes will go by. And then you've praised the Lord. You started out, you've entered into His gates, and you start praising Him and praising Him. And after that, you go to the second P. Remember, three P's in a pot of prayer? Second P is petition, which means lay your needs before the cross. Lay your needs before the Lord. You know, God, you know, please help me with this. Help my, you know, brother so-and-so. Help my sister. Help, you know. Just start laying your petitions before the Lord. And the third one is ponderance, which means just be still. After you praise Him, after you lay your petitions before Him, your needs and needs of others, then just sit there for a minute and ponder. Ponder. We can sit there and be quiet for a little bit, right? And be still and know that He's God. Sometimes He'll speak to us to that small little still small voice that people talk about. As long as that small still voice lines up with the Word of God, we're cool, right? Praise, petition, ponderance. Just stay there and think about the Lord. Kind of like a mindful meditation. Just listen. Just be quiet. We live in such a hurry, hurry world. Stand at the microwave. Hurry up! Sometimes God just wants us to be quiet and listen. Three P's in a pot of prayer. It calls us to delight ourselves in God's presence. Amen? Why? The scripture tells us very clear right here. Because the Lord is God and He is good. Everybody say He's good. One more time, real loud. Shout it. He is good. I mean, the undeniable answer is right here in our scriptures. Psalms 100, verse 3. Know for sure, know that the Lord is good. He made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We enter into His gates. In other words, we're getting into the presence of the Lord, starting out with prayer. Praise. Starting out our prayer with praise. Why? Because He is the source of our lives, the core of our being. He made us. We have His children. He is our Father. He is our good shepherd. He guides us. He cares for us. Amen? The psalmist goes on to say that, for the Lord is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Now, I'm going to read you something, so hang with me. And I'm almost finished. Almost finished. I'm going to read this to you. So, try to pay close attention. I think this is very important. I actually put it on Facebook, so if you want to go back and look at it, I'll email it to you. I didn't come up with this. I did some research, and this is from that theologian, so I'm going to tell you. Here it is. Ready? Listen. A Thanksgiving mindset that finds its source in a deep, personal conviction of God's exceeding goodness, His enduring love, and timeless faithfulness will take us by grace straight into His throne room. Unquote. You see, along with knowing Him, stay with me, along with knowing Him, realizing who we are in Him, we're His children, the sheep of His flock, members of His family. This ushers us directly into His gates with thanksgiving. We're going to heaven. We are free. Here's my question for you. How else can we enter into His gates with thanksgiving? How else? If you haven't heard anything, I want you to hear this one little bit, and I'm going to close in about 1 minute. Everybody listen. If we believe that God is against us, mad at us, doesn't really like us, is not pleased with us, how can we enter His gates with praise and joy? We won't be able to, really. Our whole life will be operated by fear and worry and the concern that maybe we're going to be punished. When we accept that He has forgiven us of our sins, if that's your case, right? When we accept that He has forgiven us of our sins, washed our sins away, and remembers them no more, never to be counted against us, this fills our heart with joy, with everlasting joy, that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When Christ died on that cross, He rose from the grave. He defeated sin. He broke the power of the enemy over our life. We are new creatures in Christ. Yeah, we still must sin now. We ask God to forgive us, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and forgive us. But on that day of judgment comes, when we stand before God, it's going to be all because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Not because of anything we did or didn't do. We completely understand our new identity in Christ. Then we can enter His gates with thanksgiving. Then we're thankful. I'm standing before God maybe in heaven. He says, Dallas, why should I let you in my heaven? Sure. 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 I'm sure that it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. Everything to do with Jesus. And for me right now, that makes me very thankful for Jesus. Very grateful that He died on the cross for me. And He rose to give me that blessed hope that I'm going to live forever, Miss Erlene. And you are too. You're going to have to put up with Gary forever. Isn't that awesome? And I'll close with this. Psalms 106:1. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know we got the chicken waiting. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His love endures forever. We can lift aloud our voices. We can cry aloud. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. All of us, including me and my family, let's try our best to keep a good heart, a grateful heart about this Thanksgiving season. Amen? And let's always remember, give God praise and glory and thank Him for His Son, Jesus. Amen.